Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is Nikki Colombo. Nikki Colombo experienced a full-blown spontaneous Kundalini rising event in 2007 that catapulted a starseed awakening, opening her third eye to perceive multidimensional realities and communication with the evolutionary forces of light known as the Melchizedek Guardians. Her spiritual mission is to support humanity through its evolution with education and awareness, consulting the impacts of the energy shifts upon the planet and human consciousness. She is an empath, intuitive, spiritual guide and healer, near-death experiencer, a walk-in, researcher, writer, psychic, astrologist, numerologist, contactee, ET experiencer, chakra clearer, starseed, and tarot reader. Nikki was guided by the spiritual hierarchy to comprehend the science of ascension and its dynamics upon the layers of energy fields and electromagnetic grids. This understanding of spiritual technologies was experienced by her own personal conscious evolution and began her transition into a spiritual guide during this planet's ascension cycle leading to enlightenment. And her website is NikkiColombo.net, and her radio show, which can be found on Truth Frequency Radio, is tfrlive.com/Nikki Colombo. So without any further ado, Nikki Colombo, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hi, James. How you going, sweetie?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for coming on. You've got quite a story to tell, Nikki. Give our listeners an idea of who you are and how you came to this realization. Give us an idea of the unfoldment process and how you went from the magical girl to the magical person you are now.
Well, I always knew that I was different because the world showed me that I was different as a child. Like every dance school I went to or theatrical school I went to or school I went to, people would treat me differently. They must have sensed that something was different about me. And, of course, I didn't realise, you know, growing up what was different about me. And I knew that I could tune into certain psychic abilities, but of course back then I didn't know, you know, what the word psychic actually meant. And it wasn't until I turned about 40 that I had a full-blown Kundalini rising, and I didn't know what that meant either until I typed in all the symptoms and this word Kundalini came up. And I started on my journey because I just, after that, I became like a more of a, I just became a knowledge junkie, and I just wanted to know what had happened to me. And I realized that, like, on the internet now, there's a lot of information about Kundalini, but the one I had was not sexual, because there's five channels in that lower spine in the root chakra of the Kundalini, and the one I had went all through my chakras and just literally blew the top of my head off, where I could actually see light exploding at the top of my crown chakra. And the day before that happened, I was getting this this rumbling in my feet, and I could hear my name being called on the right hand side, and it sounded very close to me, but it also sounded very far away, and it also sounded like my mum, but it also sounded like me, because we sound very similar on the phone. And I'm like, what's this? This is my favourite saying. What's going on? What's this? What's happening? You know? And this rumbling in my feet kept happening, and then it just kind of rumbled and went all the way up through my body. And the very next day I was just, you know, vacuuming the house, and I also had some music on, but I also had someone had sent me George Norrie's Coast to Coast with David Icke. And I'm just, you know, vacuuming the house, you know, having a bit of a dance around like I usually do. And next thing, you know, and he's talking, all that kind of stuff. And next thing, George Norrie asked David Icke, how long has this conspiracy been going for, David? And David says, well, people might be shocked to hear this, but this conspiracy has been going on for thousands of years. And at that moment, I dropped the vacuum cleaner. I turned it off. I turned the music off, and I just sat down and I just listened to the 2 hours, and I went, who is this guy? And so I discovered David Icke. I went to see him live. I bought all his books. I've seen him live twice, actually, and being in Australia, that's a real feat, because we're so far away from everybody. down under down here, as you know, James.
Yes.
And so it's you've got to take those opportunities when they come, because not many people come to Australia because it's so far away. So, you know, I was writing to him and learning so much about myself, and that knowledge spread out to all other areas. And I went to see Michael Tazarian live, and he talked about transhumanism, and that's all coming and unfolding, you know, now, right now, as we speak right now. And so is David's stuff as well. And then I got into Chris Everard's stuff, and we became pretty good friends, and I started becoming he asked me to be the Australian affiliate for the Enigma channel, and I was responsible for the delivery for his iBooks. And so, you know, it just went on from there, more and more knowledge that I gained. But at that time, strange things started happening in the house, and I actually started having, at first, positive ET contact, and it was beautiful, and they're benevolent, and they're beautiful light beings that kind of glow in and out, and they're self-perpetuating. They're not the false light, they're the real light. And I found myself, which I presume I was, they might have taken me down to the center of the earth, and that's where this kind of Kundalini soul transfer walking kind of thing happened to me. And I saw this most beautiful woman, and she was just smiling at me, and her hair was parted in the middle, and it was all long and wiggly, and she reminded me of Galadriel from The Lord of the Rings. And her hair was pale peach and pale violet, and it just glowed in and out. And we were sitting in this beautiful garden, and she was just smiling at me. And this beautiful love, this, you know, I'm very lucky that I've had a very tiny glimpse of what unconditional love really is like, because this love that I felt was not a joyous love where you're in love with someone, you know, and you're dancing around and you're, you know, like, woo-hoo. And it wasn't a blissful love, you know, in samadhi after you've, you know, had, you know, been in meditation. This was a love that's kind of, you know, it's indescribable. It's kind of in between that. And she was just smiling at me. She knew what was going on. At that time, of course, she wouldn't be able to tell me, because, you know, you need to experience 10 years of life experience to finally work out what's really going on with you, because it takes you on such a journey. I've spoken to other people on other radio shows, and I have a giggle now, and I say she smiled at me with her mouth closed, because she probably didn't have any teeth, right? Because there's no bone, because she's etheric, right? She's ethereal, right? And if she had a smile at me, she had no teeth, it probably would have freaked me out, right? So after that experience, the negative ET's experiences started coming in, and strange things started happening in the house. Things like, you know, all my, you know, like my dishwasher broke down 8 times and it was replaced, and my washing machine would break down. And then, you know, I passed my hand over the microwave one day and it blew up. And then every time I would park my car, and you have to use those bloody, you know, magnetic strips to stick it in the thingo and get the ticket and lift up and go out, they wouldn't work. Now, something was going on with my electromagnetic field, and all the cars behind me were all piling up, beeping, like, come on, hurry up and get out. It was so stressful. And then, you know, and then my dog was murdered. And then, you know, my son was knocked unconscious, and I had to bring him back to life. And that's a whole nother, you know, that's another show, James. And then, you know, and my daughter was being, you know, electronically attacked, and we were fighting over stupid things in the house, and it was just, the stress was, you know, just incredibly high levels over silly little things. And you know, strange things, like I'd be using my mouse on my computer and suddenly the mouse would start, you know, rolling down by itself, and it would take me to certain, you know, websites and stuff. And I'm thinking, what's going on here, you know? And then my internet bill was blown way out of proportion, so I could hardly pay for that. And I knew that I wasn't using all that data. And then And then I would get a certain communication to go outside and take pictures of the moon very early in the morning. And those pictures that I got of the moon on my iPhone 3 back in those days. And you could see these very large pink towers on the moon. And then I took another picture of the moon, and there's like this green stuff everywhere. And then I realized now that that was to gain my trust in thinking that I was actually having communication with my higher self, and it wasn't. It was V2K. It was voice to God. It was an electronic messages that were being received from my phone, and making me think that I was, having communication with, celestial beings. You know, but I look back now and I think, my God, I was so tricked and deceived. And then one day I woke up with this strange mark on my right leg, and it was like a purple dotted triangle, and it kind of like looked like puncture marks. And above that is this little grey waving at me like saying hi. And I'm thinking I had some sort of, ET contact with the greys. And on the other side of my leg was this thumbprint that's, where your knee is, just inside the thigh. There was this man's thumbprint. And, I ring my twin flame, who's over in America, and he's married and all that kind of stuff. It's an alien love bite kind of thing happening there. And I said, did you have any dreams last night? He goes, yeah, I dreamt I was, making love to you. I said, I had that dream too. So what that was a MyLab experience, because when I went to Misha Johnson and had a regression, and I could see, these little greys in my room. I could feel them at the time, but at the time I couldn't see them. But looking back through this very comfortable spot of observation, through my hypnosis and hypnotic regression, I could see these three little greys in the room, and I was lying on my bed. All I could see was my feet. Because I was just all starlight, just light, just starlight. And on top, overlapping this life movie experience that I was looking at with these little three greys, and they looked more blue. They were little, typical little greys, but they were more bluish. But over the top of this this live movie that I'm watching of myself being there in the bedroom was this MyLab experience, and they'd taken me, obviously, to an underground base, and my legs and my feet were strapped, and I was looking at my arm, and I could see this guy, right, and he had like the doctor's mask on, the doctor's little hat on, and everything, but just looking at his hand was so big and so large and so creamy and white, creamy white and perfect. I'm like, James, we live in Australia. You know that everybody has freckles here. There's just no way you can not have freckles here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look at this hand. It's so huge and creamy and white and perfect and everything like that. And he was doing something to my right arm, obviously maybe strapping it down. I don't know, because I was so focused on his creamy, beautiful skin. And then I looked up at him and, oh, my God, I see these great big almond-shaped, bright electric blue eyes with these long eyelashes, and he stood up, and I'm like, holy cow, he's got to be about 8 feet tall at least, right? And I'm like, he's kind of cute, those eyes are too pretty to be a guy. And I'm getting a little bit personal here, but he actually he took my DNA, and the girls will know out there that it was kind of like a pap smear. Mm-hmm. And I could feel, I won't go into much detail, but the girls out there will know, and some guys will know that too, but I could feel that they were just taking my DNA, and I could actually feel it was for maybe a hybrid program, or some sort of off-world, trade program or whatever. Who knows, probably gazillions of programs out there. But around all the hospital instruments too was all black and space, like very deep space. And I was only the only patient there. And it looked very like, and there was no one else there, and it was very deep and dark, and I'm like, where the hell am I, you know? And so, like, you know, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, what is it? And I worked out that, you know, these marks on my leg must have been, they use, I think it's called scopolamine, which is
scopolamine, yeah, it's like
that's
a truth serum.
Yeah, it's a truth serum. And I haven't gone back to my regression. I could go back and I could have a deeper regression and find out more of detail about that. But you know what, James, I don't want to do it. I'm happy with what's just, I know about, you know, enough. I don't want to go deeper because it's way too traumatic. And, you know, and for months I was so pissed off that, you know, I found out that, you know, my genetics are being traded off world or some sort of program's going on, and, you know, and the elites are keeping all the high tech for themselves and not helping humanity. And I was really, really angry for, you know, total violation of human rights, all that kind of stuff. Oh, I went through all of that, and you bastards. I was really angry and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and that settled down, and I've accepted it for what it is right now. And I've just come to, you know, the understanding that that's, you know, I might have written it in my spiritual, you know, contract before I got here. Whether I did or not, I don't know. But the fact is that I've made peace with that. And now I'm in a situation where I can help other people with, you know, with their experiences because of what I've gone through.
Well, that's key testimony. And if you wouldn't mind me asking, and I understand entirely what you mean about not wanting to delve into certain things, because if you're at peace with it and if you've come to terms with it and you're at a place in your heart and in your being and your energy space where not only can you can function, but you can thrive and you can manifest and be creative. Sometimes opening some of these cans and stuff, you know, cans of worms, so to speak, can kind of set us back a little bit. So you might as well just keep marching on. So I applaud you on that, and I thoroughly understand that. Now, if you don't mind, I understand if you don't want to talk about it because it's kind of a personal thing, but you brought up a key issue about an alien love bite situation and the astral lovemaking aspect to it. Now, a lot of people have come to me over the years. I've spoken to and debriefed many people, men and women, who have gone through this. Right, and I've gone through an alien love bite myself. It was a really bad one. It took me about 3 years to get over this gal, at least.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, without naming any names and without you know, anything personal about your twin flame, can you give us an idea of the dynamics of how that? And it probably happened more than once, the astral lovemaking. But do you feel? Because you mentioned the grays at the outset of that experience. Do you feel that the grays there were the ones that instigated that in some way and then kind of put you and your twin flame together in some kind of other dimension, some kind of ethereal realm?
Absolutely. I felt like they kind of wanted to, say, piggyback on my consciousness and his consciousness so they could feel what we were going through. For us, it was like they turned love against us. It was traumatic. We were both
absolutely
on the brink of,
absolutely.
We were on the brink of friggin' suicide. Yeah. You know, I mean, they tortured the bloody hell out of us because he's in America, I'm here, he's married, he's got, you know, he had, at the time he had two children or three children. And what the pinnacle was that his wife had got pregnant and had another child, and I knew then that I could never be with him, and that set me off in a terrible, you know, horrible, broken-hearted, dismal. I don't want to be here. This is horrible because, you know, when I first woke up, James, there was nobody around me. I grew up on the Gold Coast, and I was the only. Felt like I was the only person that had woken up, and everyone was, you know, looking at me as if I was nuts, and you know, and I didn't have anyone to latch on to. And the thing is with my twin flame, we caught up on Facebook, you know, 30 years later because we used to go to the same theatrical school together. And when we caught back up on Facebook, his life and my life like almost mirrored. And I find this wonderful person, and I was with, you know, my husband at the time too. So we were having this, you know, massive, beautiful, you know, connection online. remembering about all the connections that we had in through our lives, which were almost like a bloody mirror. It was just incredible. I could not believe that there was someone out there. But that at that time we didn't know what was going on, of course. But looking back, we've worked it out. And, you know, and what they do is they set you up and you have this wonderful, oh my God, and this is love, and da-da-da-da. And then it starts to, you know, it starts to go down because they torment you and they twist everything. And how they do it electronically through the computer, they do it through the electromagnetic field. They muck up your communication so you have misunderstandings and you have fights unnecessarily with your, you know, this person that you know, that you love very, very much. And it brings out all the horribleness and you throw it at them and they throw it at you, and, you know, because it's so powerful, this connection, that these fights were, you know, traumatic. And then when everything starts to screw up and you can't be with that person, and, you know, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning one day, and I'm like, Hilary Ramo is a really good friend of mine, and I got online because, you know, we're over in Australia, so it's a different time. So it's 3 o'clock at my time, and I think it must have been, you know, early morning at her time. And I said, I was just thinking about you. And she goes, well, what were you thinking about, sweetie? And I went, oh, you know, my twin flame's having a baby. And she goes, how do you feel about that? And I went, well, that really sucks. And he swears that there were no sexual relations there. He swears that this child came along. You know, and I know some people are going to go straight to the religious books and go, oh, oh, oh. And she said it might have been an ET intervention to stop us, to keep us separated, because he didn't want to have any more children. And then the strangest thing happened. She goes, have you seen the movie Looper? And I went, no, what's that all about? So the very next morning when I wake up, after I've gone back to sleep after talking to Hilary, she put me onto the Love Bite. She was going to buy the book for me. She couldn't buy the book for me. They were stuffing up, you know, the electronics there where she couldn't buy it and send it to me. She said, you've got to read this book. This sounds exactly what you're going through, and all this kind of stuff, setting you up, you know, all this kind of stuff was just incredible. You know, it was just tick, 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 tick. She asked me all these questions, and I just went tick, 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 yep, 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 all of that. And the next morning I wake up and here's my – I look at my – I had like a whole collection of DVDs, right, because I'm a movie buff mad, most of it all sci-fi, you know. Right down the very bottom of this CD rack, right, and like all the racks had come out, so that actually the CDs were actually on top of each other. So you actually had to lift 100 CDs up just to get one down the bottom. And guess what was right down the bottom, sticking out an inch – right down the bottom was the movie Looper. And I'm like, I pulled it out and I said to the kids, what is this doing here? Did you guys buy this? No. Did your friends bring this over? No. And I'm like, how? This manifested in my house, James. It was incredible. And I'm like, oh, my God. And, I know people are talking about this issue right now with the Mandela effect, with things disappearing because the timelines are changing and people's stuff is moving. And they're like, hang on, I put my drink down there. Where the bloody hell is my coffee gone? I know that I put my coffee there and it's disappeared, right? So all that kind of stuff was happening to me. And then after I got onto Eve Logan and I looked at all her stuff and I contacted her and she gave me some information and I'm like, oh, my God. But before all of that, James, before I realised what was going on, they tortured the hell out of us. They really did. You know, they put us in situations where, you know, we just didn't want to be here. We were going to both commit suicide. And that's a really horrible, traumatic way to be played. And they were coming into our dreams and messing us up, thinking all this stuff is going on. And like I said to you before about having that mind slide of me thinking that I was with my twin flame that night when I was going through the MyLab, I'm grateful for that because I don't really want to know all the traumatic stuff. I know enough to know, you know, okay, I've had that and I've made peace with it. I don't want to know about what I said when they gave me that scopolamine, you know, like, you know, can you, hey, Nikki Colombo, can you drive a spaceship? Like, no, I don't. I don't need a bloody spaceship to travel in, you know, in those other realms. I don't need, I'm past that. So I'm having a giggle about that right now. So whatever they got out of me, who knows? They probably wanted to know all the stuff about my ET contact experiences. But, you know, the benevolent ones wouldn't give me information to put me in that situation. So, I mean, you know, so they just wanted to know, you know, maybe what was going on maybe in the other realms. And, you know, my twin flame now, I've said to him, look, you know, this is 6 years later. And I said, look, I get this funny feeling that you're a super soldier. And I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want you to think that, you know, I was feeding your ego and you getting your ego and going, well, I'm a super soldier and all this kind of stuff. And I told him, I said, you're not in close proximity to it. This is why I couldn't pinpoint it, right? I said, you're a part of it, but you're not in close proximity. So he's recently found out that he is a super soldier, but he was more of a spy. And we have had these similar dreams where we go out and do these missions, right? But we are not heavily involved, say like Max Spears or say you know, James Casbolt. We weren't like directly involved. It was more on the surface, and I couldn't pinpoint it. I didn't know what words to use, so all I could say was, "You're just not in close proximity to it." And he's worked out now. Okay, all right, okay. And he's just recently found out, just in the last couple of weeks, and him and I have both been on these certain missions, and maybe that's why we both had my lab experiences to find out what's going on in these other realms. That's all I can work out from this 3D realm. So,
in some of those, did you find yourselves in what seemed to be foreign or European or Middle East cities, and, you know, in hotel rooms and lobbies and driving around in cars? And
no, we were on other worlds.
Other worlds entirely.
Yeah, and like we'd get out of a spaceship and this is so funny. I'm looking at myself from behind and I look like Lara Croft because I had the silver space suit on and my hair was plaited all the way down, but I had this big gun. I think I've talked to you about this, right? And I had this big gun. He had the big gun, and all we do is we hop out of the ship, and this place is very, very dark royal blue, could hardly see much, you know, rocks everywhere, very barren. And all we do is we just fire this gun, and the light out of the gun just encompasses us in a big sphere and his sphere as well. Plus I had a very, very large white dog with me. This dog was so big I could ride him like a donkey. He was so big that his back came up to my waist. Beautiful, white, beautiful dog, right? And all we do is we jump out of the ship, we fire these guns. They're like a light gun, and we just fire. It goes around us, and then we fire it again, and we shoot the light, hop back in the spaceship, and fly off. And that's it. That's all we're doing. That's all we know right now. So it's not on world. This stuff is off world. So something's going on in these other, you know, levels. I know that, you know, that we have other bodies on, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, all the way up to the 12th dimension. I know that we have, you know, bodies, other bodies that are connected to all those other dimensions, and we're obviously involved in some sort of mission. And I know that we're not, you know, we're not the only ones. I know other people out there, oh, you know, that's just dreams and stuff. Look, I know the difference between a dream, like when you wake up in the morning and you know every single detail, you are exhausted, you feel like you've been on a mission, like, you know, a 9-hour journey, like, you know, when you watch Lord of the Rings and you watch Lord of the Rings 1, 2 and 3 and you're like, oh, my God, it feels like I've just been on, I feel like Frodo, I've been on this major mission and, you know, and I'm so dehydrated and I'm exhausted and everything. You wake up in the morning and you remember every single detail and you feel it and you know it in your bones and in that innate knowing, you go, wow, that was incredible. And then when you talk to someone, you know, who's very, very close to you and you go, okay, tell me what happened last night. And then they tell you the same dream. You go, ha, 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 are you kidding me? Is this for real? Is this real? What's going on here? This is real. What's going on? Okay, we're on a mission together, and it's in the other realms. That's all I can think about. That's all I can understand from my level of knowledge right now.
Well, I absolutely believe you. I've heard of similar things. And do you remember actually getting there, or do you just like seemingly manifest or arrive at a certain place or a certain world?
Yeah, where I don't know how we get there. I'm already there and we're out of the ship and bang, we do this light stuff and then we just hop on the ship and go, and that's it. You've heard of other You've heard of other people from this too.
Well, not exactly what you described. I've heard of others that went. That not only are there these deep space ops with presumably other humans from this world, but there's also these standalone ops that not even ETs are involved. That, people like yourself just have the means to do these things. Sometimes you work with ETs, but sometimes you don't. You do these standalone ops that you just have the means to do it, right? And I'm wondering what the light thing is about that you describe, whether you're, and I've heard this from other people when they recall past lives or parallel lives where they were like an energy field and they went from world to world to kind of catalyze life, to like activate life, so to speak. And I'm wondering if it's along those lines or if the light field you're putting out is some kind of information gathering thing or something is going on, because if you're going from world to world and you're doing this, some data must be getting collected and stored, or something is activated, or a combination of both.
Yeah, I just feel like because we're in such a dark place, we're bursting the light out there. And it's obviously data that we're bursting out there. And it's kind of like we're here to shine the light. Whether that's symbolic or not, I don't know. It's probably both. But when you wake up in the next morning and you have the same dream, you're like, wow, we're on a mission doing something. So these bursts of light, and it encompasses you as in a sphere to protect you, but you're also firing this light everywhere, and you're like, it's like a burst of white, very pure white platinum light that's just shh, you just burst it out there, and you hop on the ship. And then you go to the next world, and it repeats over and over again. That
Wow.
that's yeah, that's
Is
the
there
only.
much communication between you two, or you just know what you're supposed to do and you're
We
just focused on?
know, yeah, we know. We're both highly psychic, highly psychic. Like put it this way, he'll ring me and he'll say, "What's wrong?" No hello, no nothing. And I'll ring him and I'll go, "What's up?" Like there's no like hello, how you going? Well, it's like straight away, what's up? Oh yeah, okay. You know what I mean? So we just
Yeah, you just
know.
tune right into each other.
You just know. And my family's like that too. My mother's like that too. My children are like that too. You just know. So there's some definitely some soul connection there that with. And I think that's the reason probably why they facilitate and consciousness like us because of our psychic abilities. And that's what happened to me when I had my Kundalini. Like I went from someone who was mildly into sci-fi to someone whose psychic abilities came online, and I got all these in brackets superpowers, And I know a lot of people think that's oh, that's really cool, but you work really, really hard to navigate through these new energies and these superpowers that you have, because you've got to be very, very responsible for it, and it takes a lot of work because those energies can turn dark, and you can accidentally hurt people. So you've got to be very careful about you've got to be very responsible when you start having these superpowers come online, because you can do some damage, not only to yourself, to other people. So it's not as cool as everyone thinks it is out there. And obviously, these gifts were given to me because I'd done some sort of work in a past life, or there's some sort of it was like a galactivation to get me to the point where I'm ready to facilitate planet Earth to meet their galactic family. That's the future. That's the new evolution. That for me is the new human. And because of the stuff that I've been through, I can facilitate that without fear. This is a very pinnacle point because fear can be, you can educate someone, and you're right on that middle line where you're educating them so that you self-empower them, not to put them into fear and keep them in a victim program. And that is really, really a delicate,
Yes, it is. It
very,
is.
very delicate line, because when I went through all my lab, I was going through the victim program, like, you know, when my dog was killed and all that kind of stuff, you know, and then my doctor gave me the wrong antibiotics. I ended up having anaphylactic shock in the hospital, having a near-death experience, and I was in two worlds at once, and they were saying, you know, you can come with us now, you know, and I'm like, no, I'm not leaving my children. I'm not going. I'm not leaving my children. And then the second major thing that happened to me was I was just sitting in my car waiting to drive into my driveway, and this girl came out, my next-door neighbor's daughter came out. She had a big fight with her mother, and she was all ramped up and stuff, and, you know, I beat the horn so I could get into my car park, you know, and she's come out, and she just went right off at me, and then she grabbed the top of my head and just punched into me about 10 times, and I saw her eyes go black, and she grunted like this. And then she did it again. And you know what, James? Right in the middle of that, guess what I heard? I heard this boy 2K message saying to me, let her do it.
Oh, jeez.
And I was black and blue for weeks after that. And I knew that was because I was online and I was trying to wake everybody up. I was really in the thick of it. And I was being mylabbed at that time and targeted and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't know at the time, you know, I showed you the photos and everything like that. And I know that was negative energies. I could feel and see a negative entity go into just, you know, latch onto her auric field and go into her and be utilized to try and take me out, because she tried to get me on the temple where you hold all your memory. And I put my arm up, you know, my forearm up, you know, to block her. And then she did it again, and now she's in jail and her kid's taken away, and I actually feel sorry for her that she was, her anger was used to take out a starseed and a light worker. And you know what, I you know, that put me in the victim program, and I was even under the victim program in Queensland, you know, when I was going through all the court stuff and all that kind of stuff, they would label me as the victim. Right. And I'm trying to fight all this. Right. Now I realize the program, and I could have sunk into that. Oh, poor me. You know, everyone feels sorry for me. Blah, blah, blah. Nah, I'm a warrior. I took this on knowing that this was going to happen. I was going to take a few knocks, and I did. And you know what? I'm not scared anymore. I'm really not.
You transmuted it. I mean,
I did.
Someone wails on me like that, I'd be switched into like pissed off programming, you know.
Yeah, I was.
I'd get over it pretty quickly, you know. So it's again, folks, it's an example of taking a negative, you know, turning a negative into a positive, and what she talked about earlier, what Nikki talked about, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. If one were to wake up with all these powers, if one gives in to their base primordial impulses and instincts, they're just going to be an evil warlock or evil. Something or other, like so many already out there are, right? So,
oh, yeah. You know, Halloween right now, baby. I can tell you all the spells are out there. That's why there's so much energy going on at the moment.
I'm telling
you,
like a few weeks back, the energy was so dense and so thick.
Oh,
people
yeah.
acting bizarre all over the place. In the few minutes we got left from the first segment, it's been a kick-ass first segment, Nikki. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
You mentioned a key point, because that incident where the voice to skull was telling you to be, you know, just to take it, and then the woman who suddenly gets taken up by an entity and is just, you know, thrashing you is a classic example of where the voice to skull, you know, it's an assumption to think that, you know, humans were behind that, but oftentimes they are.
Yeah.
And an example where it melded with the entity possession, because they knew, or they may even have instigated it in such a way to make this woman opened up and just suddenly come under the dominion of a violent entity thrashing on you, and then the voice, the skull, is telling you to just take it. Now, my question before the end of this first segment is, it's an important point to make. Please tell the listeners how you differentiate knowing what voice to skull is like, how you differentiate between like a real download from a spiritual, higher spiritual place, a real indwelling knowingness, a real telepathic communication, like from your twin flame, vice this intrusive voice to skull?
Okay, well, the difference is that you can feel that this your senses are being manipulated from the outside in, whereas your real communication comes from your cells and your bones and your knowing and your, you just know it. It's just, you can't see it, hear it, feel it, taste it. It's like it's in your bones. It's just an inner knowing I can't describe it. That's probably the best way that I can probably describe it. Is that you're communicating with your cells are communicating with you. That's the difference. Not some sort of electronic frequency that's from the outside being projected into you. That's the difference. It's coming from the inside
out.
Intrusive.
It's so intrusive and it's so ham-fisted, but there's no subtlety involved. You know, for some people, it's so loud that their head is throbbing. You know, it sounds like there's like a, you know, like a voice box right in their heads, you know. Anyway, we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment. Nikki, could you tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you, your websites, please?
Oh, yeah, just go on to www.nikkicolombo.net, NikkiColombo.net. And I'm also a host on True Frequency Radio, which is TFRLive.com.
Well, we've reached the end of the first segment with our special guest, Nikki Colombo. If you like what we do here at the Cosmic Switchboard Show, if you believe in what we do, please go to the Cosmic Switchboard, sign up, and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.